open up to Genesis 3 first, because I want to just review real quickly what we saw last week in Genesis 3, but then we're going to move on from there to the New Testament and look at some verses tonight. You know, when Satan rebelled against God and he formulated his plan of evil, Isaiah 14, five-fold plan of evil, Satan had hoped that because God's a God of free will, and now mankind's part of the rebellion, angels are part of the rebellion, he'd hoped that God would resign himself to their arrangement of Satan being the prince of this world, the prince of the earth. But of course, God did not do that. And God responded with a plan of his own. God set forth the basics of his plan in Genesis 3:15. Look at it with me. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity, God said. He's talking to Satan here. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So God's going to do something special through the woman's seed, through Eve's seed, okay? And notice, it shall bruise thy head. That is, the seed of the woman is going to bruise or crush the head of Satan. And thou, Satan, you'll bruise his heel. Like we said last week, you'd much rather have your heel bruised than to have your head crushed. And so the Bible tells us here, God sets forth the basics of his plan, whereby God says he's going to repossess the earthly realm. He's going to still utilize man in connection with his original purpose. And he was going to do it all through the seed of the woman. God still had a plan for man. Even though man had rebelled, even though man had disobeyed, even though man had become a sinner, we see here a prophetic promise. God's going to still work through the seed of the woman, and he's going to use the seed of the woman to, in fact, crush the head of Satan. In other words, put him out of business. And so Satan, just as God responded to what Satan had done, created the lake of fire, gives the prophetic promise, brings these judgments, well, Satan did not take that news, Genesis 3:15. He didn't take that lying down either. Satan... The word Satan, you remember what it means? It means adversary. And so as the adversary of God, Satan was going to seek to successfully hinder God's intentions to recover the earth's dominion and to put it back in the hands of mankind. And so he had to overcome God's plan for repossession of the earth, and he needed a scheme. He needed a scheme to hinder God's intentions. So, Satan devised a policy of evil to help him achieve his overall plan of evil. We saw the plan of evil, Isaiah 14, the five I wills. And so he had a plan of evil, church, but now he needed a policy of evil that would help him achieve his plan of evil. He needed something that would counteract God's activities. Now, this is where I want to go to Ephesians 2, and I want to show you this. Ephesians 2 reveals this policy of evil, this policy of evil that Satan would implement on the earth. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis eventually, but right now, we're going to actually end up in Genesis 4 tonight. But first, let's go to Ephesians 2, and let's go to verse number 1, Ephesians 2, 1. All right, look at it with me. It says, "And you hath he quickened," talking to believers, Christians, "you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Mankind is dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, now look at this. "When they were dead," notice, "wherein, in time past," when you were dead in your sins, he said, "in time past, you walked according to the course of this world." Now, keep that phrase in mind, the course of this world. According, notice who's behind the course, the prince of the power of the air. By the way, who is that, church? You ought to know that. You've been coming on Wednesday night. Prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, okay? The spirit, notice what it says here. The spirit, that satanic spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, In other words, we were fit for the wrath of God, even as others. So here we have the course of this world. And that is referring, of course, to the world's moral course and the conduct and the behavior of men within it. It's a sinful course. It's contrary to God's will. It's in conformity to men's spiritual deadness before God. Satan is the author of this course of the world system. It's all in accordance with his desires. That's why we read the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So Satan mapped out the course that this world should proceed along as part of his policy of evil to maintain possession of the earth. What was Satan's goal in all this? He sets the course of the world. He's got this policy of evil that he implements in his world system. What's his goal, church? Well, the goal was to provoke God to great anger and indignation against man. Remember, it was the seed of the woman that was going to crush the head of Satan. So now Satan has this course of the world. He's got this policy of evil whereby he wants to set man at deep, deep enmity with God. His policy of evil was to make man so rebellious, make mankind so ungodly, that there would be absolutely no way for a holy God to be able to make use of man on this earth. And of course, if God doesn't make use of mankind, mankind doesn't recover that dominion from Satan, then Satan felt like he had a lock on it. So there's another aspect, though, to Satan's policy of evil that I want us to look at and that I want us to examine. Yes, absolutely, he had this policy of evil. Yes, it involved great sin and wickedness in man. Yes, he wanted mankind to rebel against God. He wanted mankind to follow a course of ungodliness and unrighteousness. But there was another aspect. He actually wanted to see man, human beings, transfer to Satan himself the worship that rightfully belonged to God. Let's go to Romans 1. Let me show you this. All right? So we see part of the course of this world, his policy of evil, was just ungodliness, unrighteousness in man, just operating after the flesh. All right? But now go to Romans 1 and let's look at another aspect to Satan's policy of evil. We're going to look at Romans 1 and we're going to begin reading here in verse number 18. Romans 1:18. Notice it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," that are created, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God," look at this, "they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful," it's about mankind, "but," notice, "man became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." We're going to look at this over in Genesis, okay? But notice it says, "professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory," look at this, "changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Now this is the key, verse 25. Notice Satan's policy of evil. Here's his plan. He wants mankind to change the truth of God into a what, church? Lie. And worship, notice, worshiped and served. Now notice those two words, worshiped and served. The creature. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say creatures. They worshiped and served the creature more than the what? Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, look up here. Changing the truth of God into a lie, worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator, That is something that serves Satan's policy of evil. Now, who do you think the creature is in verse 25? Yeah, it's not just a man-made idol. It's not a hunk of wood. It's not a piece of metal or brass that somebody set up as an idol. No, it's not just a man-made idol. The creature himself who wants to be worshipped and wants to be served is Satan. Let me show you a good cross-reference with that, okay? Go to the next book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll show you here a great cross-reference showing you that Satan's desire, he's the creature there that wants to be worshipped and served more than the Creator. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. Not just talking about a mere man-made idol there, because look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 10, 19. What say I then? He says, Paul said, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to, notice what's behind the idols, to devils, demons, and not to God. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Notice, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with what? Devils. So notice what's behind the idolatry. Now, let me review, and we're going to get into the meat of this tonight, all right? I wanted to give you this introduction by going to Ephesians 2, the course of this world. That's Satan's course that he wants the world to follow: ungodliness, unrighteousness, great enmity between God and man. A holy God can't use man because of the ungodliness, the unrighteousness, the fleshliness, just the disobedience, the rebellion. That's the course of this world, rebellion against God, all right? But we see also another aspect to this. You see, his policy of evil against God's plan for the repossession of the earth through man basically was twofold. He charts a course for the world, catering to man's own sinful nature, catering to man's fleshly desires, which leads to rebellion against God, increases the enmity between God and mankind. But the second aspect of his policy of evil was that Satan desired for man to transfer over to him the worship and the service that rightfully mankind should only be offering to the Creator, who is blessed forever. You see, Satan's policy of evil involves the fact he doesn't want people worshiping God. He doesn't, you know, what does the Bible say? That God is looking for worshipers, right? He wants people to worship him. He's looking for worshipers, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Satan's policy of evil, he doesn't want mankind worshiping God. He doesn't want mankind seeking after God. He doesn't want mankind trying to seek and feel after God. No, he doesn't want that at all. His plan is one of idolatry, you see. And, of course, him being the spirit behind those idols, and so thereby getting the worship and the service of mankind. So, that brings us to Genesis 4 through 11. And you can go ahead and turn back there, but I want you to put your marker here in, well, that's all right. We'll go ahead and read a little bit here in Genesis 4. We're actually going to run back to the New Testament here in a minute with a good cross-reference. But, here we are. Mankind has been expelled from the Garden of Eden, right? Genesis chapter 3. Look at that with me. Verse 23, Genesis 3, 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. All right, so Genesis 3 ends with mankind being expelled from the Garden of Eden. All right, mankind is a sinner. Satan immediately goes to work in Genesis 4. And in Genesis, because remember, God just revealed prophetically his plan to repossess the earth through the seed of the woman. Remember, Genesis 3:15? So God reveals his plan of repossession from Satan, who usurped it from man. God has a plan of repossession whereby he's still going to use man. Get this now. All right? And so mankind is expelled from the garden. Satan doesn't know what all it involves, but he knows God has a plan. He knows God is not going to just allow him to function as the prince of the world, the prince of the earth, that God has a prophetic plan whereby he will oppose Satan's plan of evil. And so now mankind is expelled. Genesis 4 comes on the scene here, and immediately Satan wants to frustrate God's dealings with mankind. Now, in Genesis 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, before Abraham comes on the scene in the nation of Israel, in Genesis 4 through 11, Satan is working feverishly to try to strengthen his grip on this earth. And he wants to frustrate God's dealings with mankind. And there are three particular events that stand out in these chapters, Genesis 4 through 11, where Satan worked mightily to secure that grip on his usurped domain. As you read some of these things, they're so striking. And they're so just, the way it's described is so unbelievable. It appears, when you read these three events, it appears that Satan is getting the upper hand in his conflict with God, but the appearance is short-lived because God always counters it with his own plan. The first major event that we see happening as soon as mankind is expelled from the garden is the first murder in human history. And it involved the two sons of Adam and Eve. We know, look at verse 1. It says, "And Adam knew," Genesis 4, 1. "And Adam knew knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." And if you go on through here, in verse 8, we'll go back and look at some of this, but verse 8 says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." He murdered. First murder in human history. And let me tell you something, there's been a whole bunch of them that came after that, huh? Satan's name is not mentioned in this chapter. That's interesting, isn't it? Let me give you two interesting things. First of all, Satan's name is nowhere mentioned. You don't see Satan, Lucifer, the devil. His name is nowhere found in this chapter. Cain is not mentioned again in the Bible until Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And he's not mentioned in a positive light. Satan's name is not mentioned in this chapter, but can I ask you a question? Was Satan involved in this? We know that. You say, how do we know? Because the scriptures implicate him to be in connection with Cain's actions and Cain's attitudes. Keep your bookmarker here, and let's go to the back of your Bible. And I want you to take a book back there, 1 John chapter number 3, and I want to show you a great cross-reference with Genesis 4. 1 John, right towards the back there, next to Revelation. 1 John 3, and let's look at verse 11. It says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 12, 1 John 3, 12 says, "Not as Cain, not as Cain, who was of that," say it with me, "wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were what, church? Evil. And his brother's righteous." Now, as I said, Cain doesn't show up again until Hebrews 11, but he is mentioned in Hebrews 11. He's mentioned in 1 John. He's mentioned in the book of Jude, which is the little book right next to Revelation. You see, the Bible says Cain was of that wicked one. He was of Satan. He belonged to Satan. He was unjustified. He belonged to Satan. He was the active servant of Satan. In fact, Jude 11 describes it as the way of Cain. The way of Cain. And it's talking about people who are involved in wickedness, and it calls it the way of Cain. Well, what is that, the way of Cain? It's the way Satan wanted things to go on this earth as he instituted his policy of evil. You see, in Cain, there in Genesis 4, he established a course that involved evil works and a course of wickedness. Now, keep in mind, John, here in 1 John, John is addressing false prophets who were children of the devil. They were pursuing a course that was of Satan's making, as did Cain. In fact, they were following the same course that Satan originally instituted way back in the beginning with Cain. You see, Cain served the cause of Satan. Cain served the institution of the policy of evil that Satan was attempting to put into place. His murder of Abel, his brother, was not only an act of his sinful nature and rebelliousness against God, it was something that agreed with Satan's policy of evil. Now go back to Genesis 4, and let's look at the way of Cain here, as the Bible calls it. Genesis 4. Here we see the course of this world is being set. Here we see the way of Cain, this policy of evil of Satan is being put in place. Notice it says in verse 3. Genesis 4:3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. He brought a blood offering. Cain brings an offering of the fruit of the ground. In other words, his works, his crops, and so forth. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain, you read that on the surface, and you maybe would even be prone to think, well, poor Cain. You know, he's just doing the best he could. He was just doing, you know, he was just trying to do the best that he could and bring an offering to the Lord. No. Cain responded negatively to God's revealed will concerning acceptance before God. Hebrews 11:4 confirms this. Hebrews 11:4 tells us, listen closely, by faith, it wasn't by chance, it says by faith, wasn't that Abel got lucky? No, it says by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. You see, the Bible confirms here that God had definitely made it clear. God had given revelation. God had given knowledge. God had given his word. I don't know how God did it. I don't know if it was through Adam, because, you know, God slew the animal and clothed them in coats of skins. I don't know how, but all I know is this. I know that it was clearly manifested what the right way of approach to God was. Abel knew it. Cain knew it. Cain chose to do what was right. He obtained witness that he was righteous. He chose to do that which was right. Cain, in his mind and in his heart, he thought, you know what? I got a better way. That's the course of this world. That is Satan's policy of evil. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me ask you something. Since this time period, the very first chapter after the Garden of Eden, the way of Cain, I got a better way than God's way. Let me ask you something. Has that been prevalent throughout history? We see it all throughout history. We see it today. People think they know better than God. People don't fear God. They don't fear God. They don't believe his word. They don't believe what it says. They cast it aside. They ignore it. They could care less. And so the way of Cain, I've got a better way. I don't have to do it God's way. I'll do it my way. That's Satan's policy of evil, see? But then notice, Cain brings a repulsive offer of his own religious works. Verse 3 says that instead of doing what God had revealed that God wanted done, and that is a blood sacrifice, Cain brings of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord, his own works. He's gonna bring an offer of his own work. My sweat, my toil, and God will really be impressed because it's my works. And you know what? The way of Cain, it's a religion of works. And it's not, folks, listen, it's not something that's just a coincidence that every false religion out there is a religion of works. Every false religion is a religion of works. You have to do this or do that to be accepted to God. You bring an offering of your works to God in order to be accepted. Instead of By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Aren't you thankful? The excellent, perfect, better sacrifice of Jesus Christ is enough. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. That was God's way, but here we see the way of Cain, which we know he was of that wicked one. This is Satan's policy of evil that Satan wanted to fill the earth with. That is, you do it your way. You don't go before God his way. You do it, you got a better way. And bring an offer of works. And then notice verse 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He got angry at God for refusing his offering. And so here's the policy of evil. Get mad at God. You know, blame God. Then you go down to verse 8. And it says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now here you go. The course of this world, Ephesians 2 talks about. The way of Cain. His anger, his inner rebellion manifested itself in the violent murder of his own brother. Rebellion, anger, violence. The course of this world. Satan is setting the course of the world, the course of his world system, right here in Genesis 4. John calls it the way of Cain. Paul calls it the course of this world. It's the policy of evil. Then what does he do? Look at verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He lied to God with an arrogant spirit of pride to God. Let me ask you a question. Satan is called the father of lies. Here we see Satan, he is instituting his policy of evil on this earth, his course for this world. It would be a course that would cater to man's own sinful nature and intensify man's enmity against God. It all got its start with Cain and his activities. Satan was charting the course for this world. What was it all about? What was Satan's course of this world all about? Self-righteousness, rebellion, evil works, hatred, pride, selfishness, deception, attacks on God's own righteous servants who are trying to live by faith in God's word, attacks on God's servants. All of these things would be hallmarks of Satan's course of this world. What he worked through Cain would now be increased as man multiplied on the earth. In fact, two chapters later, look at what happened. The population is minimal, right? But go over to chapter 6. By this time, we've got a lot of time has elapsed by the time chapter 6 comes. Centuries and centuries. Now, the world's, there's been this population explosion, but notice the problem. Look at Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only, notice how Satan's policy of what? Evil. Notice that it was only evil continually. Look down at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You see what, listen, church, what Satan worked through Cain now is increased as man multiplies on the earth. In fact, we see the general progress of Satan's policy of evil in the remainder of Genesis 4. Go back there real quick, Genesis chapter 4 again. Let's go back. And I want you to look at verse 16. Notice the interesting phrase there. Genesis 4:16. It says, and Cain went out from the, say it with me, what? Presence of the Lord. Dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Isn't this interesting that Cain, now we see him going out from the presence of the Lord. He's getting away from God. He builds a city in the land of Nod, away from God's presence, establishing himself and his own family at a distance from God. He and his ancestors conducted themselves as people who were not near to God. As you read about Cain's ancestors, you see polygamy in this chapter, violence, and you see no recognition of God at all. This is the way of Cain. This is the course of this world. This is Satan's policy of evil being implemented right here in Genesis chapter 4. The world's course is being set right here in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. Satan thought he was being quite efficient at confounding God's purposes to repossess the earth through man. Satan thought, man, yeah, I'm winning this thing. I'm getting it. You know, God said that he's going to crush my head through the seed of the woman. But look at man. Satan's thinking, it didn't take me long at all. And I've got man killing each other. I've got man trying to come before God their own way, rebelling against God's revelation, rebelling against God's word. I've got mankind full of self-will and rebelliousness and evil and corruption and fleshliness and pride and hatred and I'm attacking the seed line. I'm wiping out that seed line that God was going to bring, that godly seed line of faith. Satan's no dummy. He knows, okay, if God is going to crush my head through the seed of the woman, well, I mean, Satan's not a dummy. He's looking at Cain and Abel, and it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which one was of God, did it? He knew which one was of faith. He knew which one did right. He knew which one was wrong. He knew which one that he could work in and through. And so immediately he goes to work, and he works in and through Cain. And he's thinking, man, I've got things going the way I want them now. I've snuffed out the promised seed, Abel. I've got Cain going away from the presence of the Lord. I've got his ancestors that are already involved in all kinds of wickedness and violence. And he's thinking, man, I've got this thing going the way I want it to go. God's not going to be able to repossess the earth through man. I'm corrupting them. But the last two verses of chapter 4 bring us back to God. I want you to look at verse number 25. It said, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name what, church? You know what that word Seth means? It means appointed. Appointed. You see, Eve and Adam named him Seth in appreciation of what God was doing in giving them another son to replace Abel. They said, he is the appointed one of God. We've got a seed now that will replace Abel. Notice it says, you see that meaning right there, appointed. For God, said she, hath appointed me. And that's what Seth means. It means appointed. He's appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen, church. Woo. Aren't you glad that chapter ended that way? Man, I am so thankful for that, you know, because you see Satan working through that whole chapter. He is charting the course of this world system. He is setting the policy of evil in place. He's got it running full steam ahead. And now all of a sudden, God works, Eve conceives, she brings forth Seth, who's going to replace Abel, and we see God at work. We see God stemming the tide of Satan's world system and its implementation. God is at work, and it was obvious. And you know Satan had to be angry. God would not leave the human race in the hands of Cain. And that's what we learn at the end of this chapter. God is not going to leave the human race in the hands of Cain and his evil and godless ancestors. God said, I'm not going to do that. And so God appointed someone else to replace Abel, and he allowed Adam and Eve to bring forth Seth. from which the promised seed of the woman would come that would ultimately crush the head of Satan. Well, here we are now. Satan, you know, when he sees this stemming of the tide by the bringing forth of Seth and his ancestors now, instead of Cain going out from the presence of the Lord, we see his ancestors here calling on the name of the Lord. And so Satan now is thinking, okay, I got to intensify my efforts against God's plan for repossession, which very thing he proceeded to do. In fact, the next major event that we're going to come to was so catastrophic. It was so repulsive. It resulted in such ungodliness, as we read earlier, that it ended up leading to the worldwide judgment of the flood. And you say, well, what was that event? What was that next major event? Next week, all right, we'll look at that, okay? So we're going to go ahead and stop there for tonight. I think our wagons are full tonight, amen? I think that's enough information for tonight. But here we see Satan's policy of evil being implemented right here in Genesis 4. Can I just say this before I close? And I want to say this because I think it's so appropriate that we apply this, and that's this. As believers living in Satan's world system, he's charted a course for this world. And it's one of ungodliness, unrighteousness. It's one of, we saw tonight, it's one of violence and corruption. It's one of rebellion against God, not wanting to follow God's word, not wanting to do things God's way. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we are ambassadors for Christ. And folks, listen, God's plan is for us to show this world system, the course of this world. We are to stem that tide. We are to go against that flow. We are to go against the grain, and we are to show people a better way, a more perfect sacrifice, a more perfect way of approach to God. We are to exalt and magnify Jesus Christ. This is important stuff, you know. The policy of evil is very alive and well in this world system. You see it everywhere. You read the paper, you turn on the TV, listen to the radio, go in the store. Everywhere you go, you see Satan's policy of evil, that the way of Cain. You see it being implemented everywhere. God's call is for us to live differently. God's call is for us to be ambassadors for Christ, to live in a way that is different. To be people of faith like Abel, not people of wickedness like Cain. God wants us to be like. Well, I mean, what does it say about Abel? By faith. In other words, it wasn't just by chance. No, he believed the record of God. He believed what God had revealed. And by faith, he did it God's way. He did what was right. Church, we need to do it God's way. We need to live God's way. We need to do the right thing, okay? So let that be a little encouragement to you here at the end, all right?